This is episode 14 of the Courage to Be the Difference podcast. I'm your host, Sherry Ruskus, and this episode is the first of our Hidden Treasures series, with many more to come as we've opened up the archives of my previous radio show interview recordings and found what we're calling, yeah, you guessed it, Hidden Treasures. This one is Hidden Treasures, Your Imagination, Part 1, where we take a look at the importance of engaging both your left and right brain to achieve ideas that actually come to life and don't just stay dormant roaming around in only your head. I hope you enjoy, and even more importantly, that you put these ideas into action. So join me now with author and creative coach, Cynthia Morris.
How can we use our imagination to help us stick with our projects that will help us create our dream?
Well, I wanted to talk about this in terms of left brain, right brain thinking. And that's a bit of a simplification, I think, of how we work and how we experience life and our creativity. But I think it's useful just to start there as a base of space for the conversation. So the way I think about it, right brain thinking is that's kind of the imagination. That's the fun stuff. That's the stuff that creative people are known for and are known to love, like dreaming big, dreaming about, oh, I could do this or I could make that up. Possibility thinking is another way to think of it. Creative people love possibility, and our imagination just goes into that realm of I could do this or what if. So that's all really fun and tantalizing for us. And it doesn't really do much if you don't have the left brain there to actually make things happen. So I think of the left brain as the one who follows through on those ideas, who executes on those ideas. The more associated with this part of us or this mode of being is organized, linear, orderly, being able to take things from an idea through a process of action to completion. So you can see how if you don't have both, you're not really going to be very fulfilled. If you're too much in the left brain, then you're going to just not be able to grow. You said something earlier about big dreams make strong businesses. And if you're not able to loosen up on the left side a little, the left brain thinking, you're not going to be able to dream big enough. And I found that, whether you're more a right-brain thinker or a left-brain thinker, the really important thing is, can you integrate both? Can you move back and forth between both? So I'll give an example. People, you'll have an idea. I want to, for instance, like when you came up with the idea, I want to do the victory circles. And it was like, it came in a flash. You're all excited. You see it. You get it. You like feel it on a very visceral, essential level. And then your left brain comes in and is like, great, all right, I like that too. Let's do it. What about this? How are you going to do funding? How are you going to make time for that? Where are you going to get the? And the left brain starts doing its great job of, you know, cycling through all the details. And then the other part of you is like, wait, I don't know how I'm going to do that. And so it's like the left brain rushes in too quickly. That part of us rushes in too quickly to make things happen. And the right brain gets a little discouraged because it doesn't know how it's going to make things happen. And this is where a lot of people will shut it right down. They'll shut the whole thing down and they won't even start. They won't even start writing their book or building their business or taking all the risks that are inherent in the process.
You know, it's really interesting when you think about the right and left brain. And this week in my victory letter, I wrote about creative maturity and how mm-hmm. our mature self kind of squashes our imagination and lets us fully be creative. And I was really amazed at how much response I got to that. People saying, thanks for giving me the permission to not have to be so mature all the time. And where do you see the left and right brain coming in with all that? With, you know, I should be doing this, which is one of the biggest reasons I see that people squelch their creativity.
Well, a real mature creative expression, it looks very balanced between the two, as I mentioned before. Like, you have to keep cultivating both sides of you, like tending both sides of your garden at every step of the way. What if I do this? Well, let's see. How do we do it? Well, how do we make it? It's like a constant negotiation. So if you're mature in your creative expression, you've invested enough faith and trust in both sides of you that you trust yourself to get things done. So if you're like, if your right brain, the more fluid side of you is like, oh, I can't sit at the computer anymore, let's just go take a nap or a walk, or let's go walk the dog, your left brain can relax because it knows that you'll come back. You can take those breaks. You can be flexible between the two of them because you're honoring both. Does that make sense? Does that answer your question?
Yeah. It's like giving yourself, again, the permission
to let it
happen.
Yeah, because you absolutely need that creative flow. You need that time to mess around looking at videos or play Scrabble or read the Facebook. Like all those things that people do and kind of say that they're procrastinating by doing all that, all of that is good. It's play, it relaxes us, it stimulates us, it inspires us, it feeds that right brain part. But what happens is often too many people spend way more time consuming and not enough time creating. So we have to limit that and go back to, okay, back to work. It's time to be structured and follow through on what I want to do today.
Well, and, you know, last week on the show, we had Catherine Torini, which I know you know Catherine, and she talked about tiny creative acts, those little things that spark us to get things done. Can you tell us some of the things that, because I know you have just some amazing things that you do as well, that spark your creativity if you're starting to feel it wane a little bit?
Like just during an average day or in a bigger
picture? Yeah. Just, you know, you're cruising along in your business and, you know, feeling the need for creativity.
Well, I know, like, for me, a physical practice is very, very important, and I believe it's important for everybody. So I go to yoga every day in the afternoon, and that is so great after I've been working to get out of my office and into my body and into some space. So that, you know, whatever you're doing, whether it's exercise or taking a walk, I think it's space, like putting some space in. Like, you know what, I just want to go lie down for 10 minutes. Or I'm a meditator, I want to meditate for 10 minutes. Whatever that is, I think the space is essential because there's a kind of a monkey mind or gerbil wheel approach to getting things done often where we think we just, or I know I do, like I get up and I'm like, gotta go, I've got a lot to do, and I do. And if I don't take time to just relax when I'm called to, then I'm just kind of stressed out, and that's not good. So space is one. I mentioned a few things earlier, play, anything that's playful for you. So I like playing Scrabble online with my friends. It's just word games. They stimulate me. It's fun. I'm thinking like there's different kinds of play, like the kind that stimulates your mind and the kind that relaxes your mind. So knowing which of those works for you and which is most appropriate for you. But overall, in that sense, like anytime you can lighten up at work, and maybe this is just me that needs to lighten up, that I take things too seriously, but things that lighten us, refresh us, make us feel playful and youthful. I think that right brain side is very childlike. It's very optimistic and kind of foolish in terms of it doesn't really care about the bottom line. It just wants to feel good and have fun. And so you need that. If you indulge it too much, you'll just never get anything done. You won't be satisfied. But I think that answers your question.
It does, and I would love for you to share. You've started doing something a few years back with your journaling where you actually create these works of art with your journaling when you're out and about. Could you talk a little bit about that and how that got started and what that does for you?
Sure. Years ago, people, ever since I moved to Colorado, people tell me that I should be meditating. And I'm not really a sit-still kind of person. And so I came across, when I was working at Capitol Hill Books in Denver, I came across Frederick Frank's work. He wrote several books, Zen Seeing, Zen Drawing, The Zen of Drawing. And his approach is very much about meditating and relaxing, using drawing as a way to just get very still and focus on one thing and be present. So I tried that and I really liked it. And that developed into me spending more time drawing in my journal and then developing a workshop around it that I started leading in France with my friend and colleague Gija. So from there, that was 2005, from there I started leading more workshops and really in Paris and the south of France and really developing this way of being with the journal. And basically, first and foremost, it was a travel thing, a way to be in the world, capturing what was going on around you in the moment through little snippets of play, like a haiku or a word sketch or a little drawing or just another, a few of the exercises or tools in it. And for me, I just love doing that because it totally relaxes me. It's just play. I really there's an artist in me who's emerging, and the artist has been playing in these journals for these 7 years, and she loves it because this is where I don't have to be good. This is where I don't have to look professional, or like the work doesn't have to go anywhere. And I compare that to my writing, where my writing is my main art. And as a writer's coach, I have a sense of integrity that I should be a good writer and write well. And so the bar has always been high for me on the writing, where in the journal, there's no bar. It's just play. And oddly enough, the journals, when people see them, people are completely taken aback by them. And I'm always surprised by that reaction because it's not that I'm like a meticulous artist. I don't really get perspective, and my drawings of people are, you know, fairly rough. But there's something in it, I think, that they really viscerally attracted to. It's just that childlike quality of play and joy that I think resonates with them. So that gives me joy. That makes me want to keep playing with it. And so, you know, for people listening, again, any place or practice or way that you can tap into that sense of playfulness and fun for yourself, whether it's baking a pie or going for a walk or, you know, making art, that is so nourishing to us, where we can just play without concern about being good.